Before I do send you home, I want to give you four verses in 1 Corinthians and cover them in a timely manner. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're dealing with the book of 1 Corinthians. Our theme has been this: how to keep the church in the world while keeping the world out of the church. This is God's church. I know we use the term colloquially, and I'm in favor of it. I mean, this is our church, amen. But when we say our, we really mean we're part of it. But it's been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it belongs to him. And by the way, it's in good hands. That's why he could make the statement and seal the promise, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it, because he was going to make sure it would not. And by the way, by the simple fact that we're in it tonight, not only would it not, it has not. Amen. And I tell you, when every other institution has crumbled, you and I will be in heaven, a part of the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm a part of the church. Amen. And yet, the church can move wrong directions, and the church can go down a wrong path if it gets filled with worldliness. One of the symptoms of that worldliness is what we have dealt with by way of senseless divisions, cliques, and clans in the church. So we spent the several chapters dealing with the cross, the message of the cross. We spent chapter number 2 dealing with the wisdom of the cross in its preaching and in its perception. And we understood in both aspects that this thing, from a preaching standpoint and a perception standpoint, is a God thing. God's the one that came up with the message that we preach, and God is the one that allows us to perceive the truth of it. You can't come up with the cross without God, and you can't understand the cross without God. Thank God that it was conceived in the heart of God, and it is comprehended based on the Spirit of God. I'm not only rejoicing that God came up with a salvation plan, but I'm glad that the Holy Ghost of God has enabled my spirit to not only appreciate the wisdom of it, but to understand what it means. I'm not just glad he died. I'm glad that I understand that he died for me and that I'm saved by God's grace. We learned last week that information from God requires the Holy Spirit, if that information can in turn be given by inspiration, and that inspiration can be understood by the Holy Ghost illumination, and that Holy Ghost illumination will provide for the believer the right kind of intuition. The more inspiration you read, the more illumination you have by the Holy Ghost of God, the more your mind just intuitively likes to think like God. I'm glad that when there's no verse in the Bible about an action or a decision or a choice or a hobby, if I've been hanging with the Holy Ghost through the Word of God long enough, by instinct and intuition, I can know the mind of God. I see the clock. Don't you worry about me. Tonight, I want to dive into this chapter number 3, these first 4 verses, and address yet another cause, if you would, of these senseless divisions. If you're taking notes, give me about 8 minutes. And I want to present to you tonight the spirit of carnality. The spirit of carnality. Pastor, what is carnality? It is that which is characterized by the flesh. Amen. It is good that Paul, by the Holy Ghost of God, transitions in chapter number 3, having ended chapter number 2 the way he did. Because the entire end of chapter number 2 is talking about the Holy Spirit's work in the believer. And then in chapter number 3, the Bible is showing us how the flesh will work in the believer. And it is reminding us that although we are saved and our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost, that with the addition of the Spirit, we do not experience the subtraction of the flesh. It's important to understand when the Bible talks about a certain man in the Bible, what it's referring to. Amen. The lost man is without God. Amen. The saved man has been saved by the grace of God. But is it possible for a lost man to become a saved man and still live like a carnal man? And I appreciate what you said, Antoine, a few moments ago. It's like the Holy Ghost of God was saying, yeah, he's just setting you up for what you're going to say. He made this statement, I'm not perfect, I still have this flesh. Let's just agree that he was corporately making the statement for all of us. So let's just say thank you, brother, for testifying. That's exactly what was going on with me. I want to give you two aspects very quickly of the spirit of carnality. Number one, inhibiting childishness. And number two, inevitable consequences. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Here's what Paul said the spirit of carnality did to the people of God. It made you act like children. And childishness for the believer is inhibiting. You lacked spirituality. Notice the lacking spirituality. I could not speak unto you as unto spirit. I couldn't talk the stuff of God to you because you're carnal. The limiting simplicity, even as babes in Christ. Now, wait a minute now. They weren't babes in Christ because they hadn't been saved long enough. We've already heard too much about the church at Corinth. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. They came behind in no gift. They had already previously demonstrated the work of the Holy Ghost of God in their lives for which they had been commended. They had already passed the point in time in their Christian life where they should not be children. In other words, you're not childish because you haven't been saved long enough. You're childish because you're living in the flesh. And by living in the flesh, your growth has been stymied. And because of your lacking spirituality and your limiting simplicity, you are now characterized by low sustainability. I fed you with milk, not with meat. Here's what Paul said carnality has done to you. It has forced me to administer a shallow diet. If you don't like that word, put soft in there. Listen, here is why a doctor puts you on a soft diet. He puts you on a soft diet because you have a sick deficiency. Is anybody listening? In other words, when your body has to take a soft diet, it's because you lack the digestive capability to receive a heavy diet. Somebody help me preach. Here's what Paul said. I wanted to get up there and give you some good stuff from God, but your digestive system is so whack, I got to keep giving you milk because your spiritual stomach can't handle them. Help me preach now. Listen what living in the flesh. Some people think living in the flesh is going to get me talked about by Christian people. Living in the flesh is going to get me called on by the pastor. Living in the flesh is going to get Christian people to be gossiping about me. Living in the flesh is going to get people to condemn me and say things about me in a judgmental way. Those are all little side, little peripheral things. Living in the flesh, the biggest victim when living in the flesh is not what people think about you. The biggest victim in living in the flesh is you begin to put obstructions in your spiritual appetite, and thereby the Holy Ghost of God can not put a steak on your plate because your stomach is so messed up. He got to keep giving you milk in a bottle. Don't you ever think that the fun you get out of carnality is worth it? Because carnality precludes the benefits of spirituality. You can't get, listen, you can't get the goods out of this book. Listen to me. The smorgasbord of the Word of God is cooked, prepared, hot, and ready. But when you're carnal, as ready as the food is, your stomach ain't ready to receive it. Preach, Pastor. So you have inhibiting childishness, and it brings with it inevitable consequences. Notice now, he says, because ye are yet carnal. Right now, write this down. You have a prolonged fixation. In other words, you didn't just become carnal yesterday. You haven't been carnal for a little while. It hadn't just sneaked up on you. Ye are yet carnal. You've been so in the flesh for so long, you've gotten comfortable with it. But listen. Nobody in here is perfect. We should never see a Christian make a mistake and just be so flabbergasted like, oh my goodness, the same thing we do. So I don't ever want us to ever put people so high up that we don't think that they should ever make mistakes. But I also don't want to ever put people so low that we think that they should make mistakes, get comfortable in them, and create a fixation of carnality that begins a comfort level of carnality. Now, instead of being uncomfortable when I'm out of the spirit, I'm uncomfortable when I'm in the spirit and comfortable when I'm in the flesh. God saved you. Yes, you have a flesh. Yes, you're not like Jesus. No, you're not glorified. Yes, you've been justified. Yes, God's trying to sanctify you. Yes, one day you're going to be like Jesus. But there is nothing spiritually logical about a child of God that lands in carnality and stays there. So I say to you tonight, I'm not trying to pick on you. I wouldn't do that. I say to you tonight, if your carnality presents to you a prolonged fixation, shame on you that you got, that you went where you shouldn't have visited. That was your first bad move. But it was even worse when you put a contract on it to move in. If you make a bad visit, for heaven's sake, once you find out you're in the wrong place, get out. I'm wrapping it up. A prolonged fixation brings about a prevalent fruit. And here's what carnality does: envying, strife, and divisions. Come on. If you live in the spirit of envy, you're carnal. If you live in the spirit of strife, you're carnal. If you're always picking a fight, trying to find a fight, always trying to find somebody to argue with, always looking at somebody to be envious of, you can't get jealousy out your system, and it's a much more viable option to you than rejoicing in the blessings of somebody else, you have a carnal problem. It's not that God doesn't bless you enough. It's that you're too carnal to appreciate the blessing. And when you're too carnal to appreciate your own blessing, you're mad about everybody else's. And so the problematic function thereby is you walk as men. In other words, you walk as human beings outside of the Spirit of God, bringing about, if you would, a promoted foolishness. Thus, you walk around talking like this: I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of this group. What's the problem? Carnality. That's how carnal sounds. I said, that's how carnal sound. Well, I don't do that. Well, that ain't for me. Well, I ain't one of them church members that gets all sold out like that. That's carnal talk. Well, you don't have to worry about me going to that. We don't go to those. You don't have to worry about me signing up for that. That ain't stuff I do. That's carnal talk. That's not how spiritual people don't brag on not participating in spiritual stuff. Spiritual people want to get in it. I'm not saying you have a scheduling time to fit everything that goes. I'm just simply saying it does not sound spiritual. It is not spiritual. It is definitely carnal when you start bragging on who you run with instead of bragging on who you belong to. That, beloved, is the spirit of carnality. And that is one that does not belong in any church. And I'm going to do the best I can, starting with my own life, to make sure it doesn't take a comfortable seat in this church. Our Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the ability to walk in the spirit, but thank you for the awareness of the ability to walk in the flesh. Help us to battle this sin nature and to never take for granted that having the spirit means we're walking in the spirit. Work on us in Jesus' name. Amen.